Episode 263 of Way of the Warrior is brought to you by Celebration Cinema, who reminds you you can catch UFC 184 on the big screen next week at Celebration Cinema. Get tickets right now at CelebrationCinema.com.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And that's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken and Obi-Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, doing something a little bit different today. We couldn't actually find a place to go, so we're kind of out in the open today. So
we're in a library. That's why we're all whispering.
This will be like an NPR.
This will be a very dulcet. You're going
dulcet.
To be out of fighting for 4 years broadcast.
So, yeah, we've obviously got a lot to talk about. The UFC made their announcement on Wednesday after what, Ken, I know you watched it because it's your favorite reason to own Fight Pass.
I actually missed it. I wasn't able to do that. I had some family commitments.
So it was, I mean, as you promised, it was super entertaining and not for what we wanted it to be, because essentially what happened is Diaz comes up for 6 seconds, yeah. Anderson comes up for 6 seconds, and then Lombard comes up for 6 seconds. They just put them all on temporary suspension and go, we'll see you guys in March.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. What, did they not want to make decisions this early?
That's the process. So first that is the temporary suspension, then second is the disciplinary meeting.
Don't ever remember seeing that when the guys are actually there. Like, usually they send their management, and then there's a temporary, and then they show up for the hearing. I guess I assumed, since the dudes were all there being represented, that they were going to make some kind of decision.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird, too, especially when, and Joe, I'm not sure if you watched it or not.
I watched the end of it, just to see the mainline fighters.
The mainline fighters. What was interesting is that both Diaz's management and Anderson's management were totally surprised as well, as they were like,
Why did we come?
We're here. So could you tell us when we're going to need to be here? Because, like, we're all ready to do this thing.
That was ridiculous. I mean, you saw some of the asshattery that is the NSAC on display, and some guys they want to make, you know, examples of. Other guys they just, you know, they kind of yell at because they want to feel like they're important. It was ridiculous. This was ridiculous. They're all there. The guys are there. Let's make a decision.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if part of that, Joe, is because that's the process, as you said.
It's absolutely the process. There's no two ways about it. It's very, you know, like,
isn't it weird, though, that the fighters didn't seem to get that, though?
They did get it, and that's why they only appeared telephonically. None of the fighters were actually there.
Right, so sure, but like it just seemed weird that the management was like, okay, well, call us, I guess, when we need to be back.
So this is my Jones first... and Cormier did that, and obviously it wasn't an actual fight situation. That was an out-of-competition issue where they were promoting a fight, and they fought each other, but I mean...
You got a free fight.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we got a free fight. I guess I'm just not understanding, like, when they want to make these decisions. I guess everybody's going to have to be there in March, but everybody was already there, so why didn't we just get this done? Because that was the vibe I was getting.
Yeah, I think it's just their process. One observation I had was it really felt like a panel of schmucks. Did you watch any of it, Eric?
Have you never watched them?
I haven't.
So when we go back to Cormier Jones, Ken called me and said, hey, if you haven't signed up for Fight Pass, sign up for it right now, and if you have, please tune into this. And so I got to see the panel of idiots that are the NSAC, and when Ken says asshattery, it's the most apt way to describe what they are, especially, and I don't remember his name, but he was like this in the Jones Cormier thing where he can't pronounce anybody's name if they're not Caucasian. He's like the pseudo racist guy, the commission, because especially when we're talking about the Uriah Faber Rivera fight.
Yes.
He can't pronounce Francisco's name.
And again, I didn't see it live. Did you see that part of the hearing?
Well, I watched the entire
thing.
Okay.
I will never miss one ever again. From what I gained from that, too, is like that was one of those clear instances where they say, hey, Uriah's a nice guy.
That's what they
said. And
then
they start yelling at Rivera the whole time.
And he's not there. So they start with Uriah, you're a nice guy. And then they keep asking Francisco or Francisco's team to hit star six for the better part of 20 minutes. And nobody does.
Right. Nobody's allowed to talk.
And then so somebody decides to cop to and act on behalf of Francisco Rivera, and it just obviously doesn't go very well because they don't really care. And the representative from the UFC, using Mario Yamasaki's testimony, shows that, like, I didn't even see the eye poke, so I don't know how you would expect me to stop this. We don't really use after the fact reviews in order to change decisions in the ring. So I don't really know what you're expecting of me to do as a referee.
That was an interesting situation. Obviously we're going to talk more about the drugs, but that just shows that they don't have any type of decision making process there. Like, what Yamasaki really didn't need to be there. I mean, he kind of had to be procedurally.
Well, he wasn't there. He gave the statement to the UFC representative who was reading it, but they did interview him.
That's what I mean. It has no bearing on what we're trying to do here. What you're trying to do here is go, hey, there was an illegal act. Can we overturn the fight? And then it became this mess and jumble of, well, the referee didn't say, well, that's why we're here, guys. We get that part of it.
And then there was a lot on Tuesday of that, Ken, where at the end of it, they go, well, we should have a discussion about that. And then they just table the issue and tell Uriah how awesome he is as a human being, which he is. But they just tell him how awesome he is and send him on his way. Before we talk about the drugs, the other two, I thought, really interesting things that came out of this was the tech that they were talking about. And I don't know if you watched the early part, but they had these two startups essentially back to back as I was waiting for it to happen. And one of them has a boxing glove that now measures miles per hour and poundage. So they'll now, on top of CompuBox.
Drago had one of those years ago in Rocky III.
So they finally stolen from Rocky III and put it into
Rocky IV.
You'll see that in boxing, I guess, in March. They got cleared to put it in a fight and see what happens. And then they're going to have to ask some questions because one of the commissioners asked a very funny, not funny, haha, but peculiar question that I think has a lot of weight is, do you really want to tell a television audience in light of what happened to the NFL? Oh, that guy got hit with this.
Right.
It sounds like a Mack truck, right? The same way as being hit by a car.
Oh, there's a concussion.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, do you really want to tell an audience that he just got hit with 1,100 pounds of pressure to his head? Is that really something that you want to tell somebody? And so that'll be interesting to see what part of that data they end up using. And then the other thing was there was a new scoring system using iPads and an internal Wi-Fi with a desktop or laptop and a non-biased observer that sits and kind of minds over
what?
This. It's kind of
somebody's
a weird
thing. Watch somebody if they're going to use a laptop.
No. So the three judges would have iPads, and they'd enter the scores on the iPad, and then they would go to this laptop, and that would be kind of the final record. So there would be no longer, I guess, there must be some problem with writing down.
Are we just going paperless? I guess I
guarantee the Wi-Fi will go down in the middle of the fight. The second it starts, there's the Wi-Fi.
That's it.
Dang it, guys.
And then obviously the main event is that they temporarily suspend Nick Diaz, having nothing to do with PEDs, but his marijuana metabolites. They suspend Anderson Silva, and they suspend Hector Lombard. Then the very next day, as Ken alluded to last week, the UFC rolls out their new policy.
Mm-hmm.
And their new policy is suspending everybody on the roster. So effective immediately on July 1st, there will no longer be a UFC for 4 years.
Quit doing drugs, you guys. Stop it.
So, I'm interested to get, obviously, your feedback on what they did, because I feel that 4 years is a death sentence if you're an MMA fighter. And I just don't know how bad this is going to get before it gets better, especially when you look at what they have coming up in UFC 187.
Well, it looks like they're trying to get everything in before July. So
right,
that's good.
Yes.
The way they're stacking their cards. I applaud what they're trying to do, but they want to use WADA testing, and it's NADA testing in most places, and that's not what they were talking about. So, the devil's always in the details. Everything they said sounded great. It sounded like something that might actually get guys to stop doing steroids, because like you said, that's a death sentence if they end up with 4 years, if that's what WADA wants to do. The devil's still in the details. Are we actually going to start testing like this? What does out of competition look like? Does it matter that John Jones did coke and he wasn't supposed to be tested for coke? Because according to what they said, he'd be gone for 4 years. It was an interesting kind of list somebody tweeted out after the hearing. Is like, if this policy were actually in effect, you'd have Jones gone, you'd have Silva gone, you'd have Diaz gone, and Lombard
would be gone. Yeah.
Lombard would be gone, not just gone, but for 4 years. Is that really what's going to happen? We're going to have to wait and see what happens in testing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more like 2 years. It may be 2 years first offense and then 4 years or indefinite.
Do you think they'll really even get to that 2 years?
I hope so. And it'll be a case-by-case basis too, right? So
but it can't be a case-by-case basis.
It will be based on athletic commissions because these are only their recommendations to the athletic commissions.
Well, and that's the interesting thing when you see what's happening in when Texas came in. They're like, well, we're hosting UFC 185. We don't know what you're talking about. So we're not doing out of competition testing because we don't do it. So if you would like to do that, we probably should have a discussion before we sign an event, because right now we're not doing that. And that, Ken, when you say the devil's in the detail, that's the detail, is that you're going to obviously get Nevada on board with this thing. And then you're obviously going to get California, who loves rules, to jump on this thing. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I don't know that it cleans up the fights in Brazil or cleans up the fights in Texas or cleans up the fights anywhere else on the planet,
right,
because, like you said, they're just suggestions. The Nevada Athletic Commission does not oversee the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is only two. This isn't the UFC setting rules. They're advocating for rules. That's a big difference, Joe.
Right, and they're gonna fund this out of competition testing. What they need to do, and I think their end goal, right, is to have a template. So this is our process. If you violate, no matter where you're at, this will be your penalties. You're going to be tested X amount of times a year. And interestingly enough, guys, we had the same conversation a year ago. They mm-hmm. came out and said they're going to do all this additional testing, all this advanced testing. Some of it's happened, and that's we've seen the results of all these people getting popped now out of competition. Now they're having another
on accident,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this is really their version two of their program that's going to be laid out. And I think at this point, we just need to see some results. We can talk about this as much as they want. They can set all these goals. Well, we need to see some results. We need to see a laid out plan of what they're going to move forward with, and some consistency, really, too.
So, Ken, do you think, I know you're looking at the board behind me and looking at that July 1st date and mm-hmm. looking at UFC 187 that takes place in May, and
right,
you're probably thinking
that,
you're probably thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, that is, what is the rest of this year going to look like? Because if you're literally
they're
putting,
just trying to get
and we're
there.
Going to talk about
they're
UFC,
just trying to get there
you know,
at this point.
Right, we're going to talk about it in a second, but like if you look at that card, Ken, they put literally everybody on the card.
It's not everybody, but I mean, it's clearly two pay-per-views.
Might as well be everybody.
It's clearly two pay-per-views. You've got Jones Rumble. That would be one pay-per-view. And then Weidman Vitor, which is another pay-per-view.
Sure.
I think arguably you've got maybe your two biggest draws right now. You can put Cain Velasquez back in there when he's back. But right now you've got Weidman and Jones. And you just put them on the same card, which I don't know for those dudes' sake. And I like the fact that they're waiting until July 1st to implement this. Because you know what? Let's give everybody a reset. Let's mm-hmm. figure it out. I mean, it might be business suicide if you don't do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for
you
sure.
Just
you just
guys.
Shut the organization yeah. off, for sure.
But it's also very curious to look at, oh, all of a sudden there's two main event fights on one card. And I don't ever remember you and I going, hey, you see that Memorial Day card?
Right.
That's not really
yeah.
been their thing. They've always had holiday weekend cards, but it's always been Super Bowl weekend, 4th of July weekend,
yeah.
and New Year's Eve.
If right. you look at these two headliners, Jones has just popped for recreational drugs.
Yep.
And Vitor obviously has popped for PEDs and
in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
and
recently.
The not recently, but out of these two top or the two main events, one guy out of each fight has already tested positive.
So are we
for
trying to
drugs.
Give them a chance to still test positive and not this is just very interesting to me.
Well, it's really interesting because it sets two things in motion. One, Ken, it puts together, as you and I were tweeting last night when they made the announcement, it puts a card together that people want to go see.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly going to do a lot of business with putting two pay-per-views into one pay-per-view.
Right.
Obviously. But then it opens the door for two other discussions. One, will the injury bug stay away long enough for this to actually happen? And that might be why you see Cerrone and Nurmagomedov on there and Travis Brown right. and Arlovski on there and Benavidez and Moraga on there so that they have an instant co-main in case anything happens. But then, too, yes, do they expect any of these guys to pop for anything? And if they pop for anything, this obviously puts them in the quote-unquote clear because it's not July 1st, so they can go, oh, I know you popped, so we're going to suspend you for 6 months because you're not part of the July 1st
thing. Or a year.
Yeah, or a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Or 2 years or whatever.
Four. So interestingly, there's a theory out there that we've seen all these injuries in 2014, you know, a spike in injuries due to the fact that they're having more out of competition enhanced testing, which means guys are doing less testosterone. So there's a theory that because we're testing more, guys are doing less TRT and performance enhancing drugs, which is leading to a higher rate of injury.
Is that well, the other thing, too, are these guys trying to get these fights in while they're still at that weight class? Because right, there were a couple right. of fighters tweeting out, you can see a lot of guys dropping weight classes.
I forget who that was who was talking about all the chi, dot, dot, dot. I mean, heavyweight fighters will be dropping into
right.
another weight class.
There wasn't a lot of fighter reaction, too. Like, usually you'll see a lot of fighters on Twitter talking. There was not a lot. I mean, the most vocal was a dude that's not even competing, which is George St. Pierre.
Yeah, George St. Pierre was the most vocal, highest level. I mean, Weidman obviously was a big fan of it. But
oh, did he? I didn't even
yeah,
see him.
Yeah, he did one.
Did
but
he
I
show
mean,
up on Twitter?
But I mean, you didn't see Vitor Belfort. You didn't see. And look, the guys I'm about to say, I'm winking and nodding for obvious reasons, but they're the high-level guys in the organization. You didn't see Anderson Silva. You didn't see John Jones. You didn't see Vitor Belfort. You didn't see Chris Weidman. You didn't see Chael Sonnen. You didn't see Alistair Overeem. You didn't see Cain Velasquez. You didn't see any of those guys. You saw Ronda Rousey and George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that enough?
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that Joe Rogan's guess of 60% is probably pretty valid.
For sure.
And you don't want to be the guy that has tweeted out essentially their death sentence that I would never do blah, 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 blah. And then you always did blah, blah, blah.
What happened to
Chael
Sonnen, right?
Hey, Chael owns it.
He owned it. That's why I said I thought it would be interesting. That
it also got him fired.
It did get him fired. But what I'm saying is it would be interesting to see his take on it. And I'm sure by this point he has. But as of yesterday, he was tweeting at John Jones about not getting service in Best Buy. That's what he was doing yesterday. He wasn't talking about this. So, yes, Ken, it's very conspicuous that we haven't had a lot of fighters who have jumped up and down and celebrated the removal of PEDs from the UFC.
I guess I didn't expect a whole lot, but usually, it's funny. You see a bunch of dudes react to all of these press conferences, whether it's talking about wearing Reebok or whether or not you're going to have something in the Philippines. I don't know. You see a lot more fighters react to everything. And then this one, you know, it was crickets and a guy in Canada who hasn't fought in 2 years.
Right,
yes.
But I just... I'm so fascinated to see how this shakes out, because especially when we get to July, Joe, and we start to see guys pop, because I don't know enough about the drugs to know if this is enough of a warning to get clean enough to not be tested. And like you said, Ken, the devil in the details. So immediately on July 1st, do they start showing up at people's houses?
What are you licensed? Are you contractors? You know, there was a great point online. Somebody tweeted out, if you're a fighter, how do you not start a union at this point? Whether or not things are right or wrong, you just saw a giant unilateral decision that is going to affect you not only when you're licensed to fight, but when you're not licensed to fight. So all of a sudden, there's going to be a guy showing up at your door. He wants your blood. Really? Nobody's going to set up a fighters union at this point?
I need some type of representation.
I need somebody to protect them. And I'm not advocating for PEDs, but yeah, you need to have some sort of protection from somebody showing up at your door. Let's say I know he's got a fight coming up at UFC 189, but if you're Robbie Lawler, you fight four times in 1 year and you want to take some time off. I'm not advocating that he has or has not done anything, but if he were to do something or, I don't know, let's say he wanted to smoke pot. Relax, chill out, smoke pot, and then they show up and get his blood. Right. When he's out of competition and wasn't planning to compete, he all of a sudden is suspended for 4 years?
That's
a thing?
That's a huge thing, and that's something that I don't necessarily disagree with the fact, and maybe you need harsher penalties. Maybe you need to say, hey, we're testing everybody all the time to get these guys to actually stop. But, I mean, if you look at other sports, it's not worked in biking. All those dudes were dirty. Yeah. They were just trying to stay ahead of the game.
Yep.
I mean, what you're going to see here in this case is you're going to see top-level dudes. We talked about this last week a lot with the designer-level drugs and guys that are trying to get by the test. Guys aren't going to necessarily stop. What you have to do is have that penalty be so bad that a guy's going to think twice about it. And I think 4 years is a tough one. I mean, if you go back to baseball, when they finally implemented their drug policy, they got to the point where a dude's second time is popping 150 games. That's a real paycheck that they lose at that point.
Sure.
But there's still, that's a giant paycheck if you can get that far. So guys are still willing to risk it. There's going to be dudes that are still willing to risk it. Are we going to see top guys pop?
That's what Danny,
I don't know.
Danny Cormier said last night, that the guys who are using right now, he has a hard time believing that they're going to stop using. That once you've started this cycle, it's really hard to stop. So he, instead of seeing a bunch of people stop, he thinks they're going to see a bunch of people get popped.
Well, and Lorenzo said that. He said it's going to get worse before it gets better. But I just don't know that it gets better. I just think you might see.
I think it does. I think and this is a very long-term view. I think you're looking at a next generation of fighters. Guys like Kevin Lee that are coming in.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Those guys, you know, if they were ever tempted, they're going to be a lot less tempted now to do it. And they're not going to get in that routine, and they're going to figure out their natural weight. And this is a very long view of the situation. Yeah, I think Lorenzo's right. It is going to get worse before it gets better. I think it will get better. There's going to be a new paradigm here. There's going to be a new shift in this business. I don't know.
And I guess what I was what I meant by that is you're going to see more, in my opinion, the long-term view, Ken, as we get to that thing, you're going to see more Kevin Lee's, you're going to see more Conor McGregor's, like that, those lighter weight classes, I think, is where you're going to see stars evolve, because I think as you get up heavier, there's that impetus and that those big jumps from 170 to 180, you know, 185. You know, maybe this is the time that you bring that other weight class in to help curve this. But 170 to 185, 185 to 205, 205 to 265, mm-hmm. that's where you're going to see guys that I think are going to be still very tempted, especially when you're running into guys who are naturally gifted in a way that you can't compensate with drugs. Mm-hmm. You can't compensate Cain Velasquez's athleticism and speed by taking a whole lot of steroids. That's just not a way to get better. He's just naturally better than you are. But I think there's going to be still that drive, like you said, and Cormier said, that people are going to want to do it to see if they can get an edge on Cain Velasquez, get an edge on Jon Jones, especially when you've got a guy like Daniel Cormier who comes in and he's talking all of this trash, how he's going to dethrone Jones, gets in there and goes, I have never in my life fought a guy that strong.
Like, and that's in a guy that life. Was a heavyweight.
And that's a guy mm-hmm. who was a heavyweight. And when you're hearing those stories coming out, I don't know how you can't think to yourself, well, I mean, if there was only one thing I could do to get a leg up, yeah. because I just can't get that strong, and I don't know that I can beat him in any other way.
I got a question for you. How do you, if it's 50 to 60% of MMA fighters on PEDs, how does that compare to the other top three professional sports, MLB, NBA, NFL?
I think it's high compared to the other sports simply because of...
Even the NFL, really?
The nature of the sport. Maybe not the NFL.
Okay.
Maybe not the NFL, but just because of the nature of the sport, the hitting, the testing that's been lax. You only have to get tested a couple of times.
Yeah.
See, the NFLPA has testing set up already for their guys. So, again, that goes to that what?
No, just like it's but, already like...
Well, no, I mean, they know when they're going to test.
Right, I know, yeah, that's what exactly. I'm saying. It's on Tuesday, yeah. August
but there
14th.
But there's random testing right. within the season. There's just a couple things going on there. I think it's high. Maybe the NFL's closer, but I still think it's higher. And it's a fighting business, too. I think that's
right.
That's what it goes back to. And I think there's a lot of guys probably doing a lot of really bad drugs in
yeah.
MMA.
And sure.
A lot of old-school steroids. A lot of the really bad things for you. I think there's probably a lot of dudes doing that. They just want to get a little bit stronger. Because every dude feels like if he just had this one extra bit of strength here, mm-hmm. he could have done that move. Or he could have took a punch here. Or he could have snaked out of a submission there. So when you've got that feeling, if a guy's going to hand you something out of his trunk at a gym where you're training all the time, you might be tempted to take it, especially when 100 other dudes are probably doing the same thing. So I think it's high. I think it's going to come down. But I also think some of the drugs are going to get better. There's still a lot of money in MMA.
Oh, sure. Well, there's a lot of money in MMA. But I guess the hard question when you see this roll out is should there be a fighters union, as we brought up, and should we look at fighter pay? Because if you're, you know, if you're Kevin Lee and you're coming up the ranks, there are times when you're getting $3,000 to show up and $3,000 to win, and that's, I mean, you fight maybe twice a year, maybe.
Yeah, and that's a big check if you were fighting for Bellator or WSOF.
I was going to say, but what else are you going to do? There's not, and we've had the fighter pay discussion before, and we can have it briefly again. There's not a lot more money there, and I know everybody thinks there's a lot more money there, but, I mean, they're paying these guys essentially to show up and fill out a card. They're not selling tickets for the most part at this point. As much as we love Kevin Lee right now, he's probably not so, he didn't sell any tickets when he fought on fight night. Now maybe next time he might, and maybe the time after that he'll sell more. But you've got a lot of, you've got what, 15 fights on a card now? I mean, usually you've got 5 prelims, 5 main, and
sure,
then
yeah.
three,
I mean,
3
10
or 4.
To 12, roughly.
So, yeah,
yeah,
okay. So we're getting close. You shook your head as if I was, like, off by 20.
What are you talking about?
Went to the negative numbers. Yeah, I was off by 2. So, I mean, you've got a lot of fights. You got to fill out a card every week, essentially, at this point, right?
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. at least.
So, I mean, these guys aren't going to get much more than 3-3. They're not. That's just not going to happen. Look at boxing. It's terrible. Their 3-3 is 100. It's not 1,000. So, I mean, that's our best example to look at.
But I don't.
Do you think they should get more?
I don't know that I think they should get more, but for me, that's a sticking point because I feel that that's why when you're in the middle tier area, not the George St. Pierre, not the John Jones area, when you're in the, we'll call you the Andre Orlovsky class. You know, like you were somebody at some point, you left for a while, you came back, and you're kind of on the up and up, so you're making maybe 50 and 50, but that's still not covering all of your bills. You know, there's a real stress on you, your body, and your camp to be successful in fights because you can't afford not to be.
Well, I find it really interesting, too, when you kind of mention that stress. And Frank Mir recently did an interview, and he was talking about the stresses of fighting and what he has and hasn't done in the past and what he thinks needs to be done in the future. And he essentially said, these guys are training too hard. You could take some of this training off. You have to stop hurting yourself. You have to take time to get healthy. And, you know, if you do some of that, you're not training as much. You don't have as many guys in camp necessarily. I mean, obviously, once you get to a certain level, you're going to need that. I don't think Andrei Arlovsky is a guy that's hurting for money at this point. I mean, obviously, he's got a fight to live at this point.
And I'm not saying him as a specific person. I'm saying him as, let's say, a placeholder, a guy who maybe makes 50 to show, 50 to win.
But he can do that two or three times a year. I don't think the UFC necessarily – you think that guy should make more money.
No. I'm saying when you get to that level and you're on this precipice where if you lose, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
That there puts a pressure on you that there is no losing is not a you're back to the boxing example, right?
Sure.
In boxing, you can't lose or your career is done, which I find to be the dumbest model of a sport of all time.
You still chose this profession, though, right?
You did, yes, I mean, but I guess in every profession, there should be a way to make a livable wage, and I'm not saying that that's not a livable wage, but when you add in all of the things that you've got to cover. I just think it puts a stress on them. And I'm not advocating for PEDs or advocating for that guys should have to take them. But I just feel that there's such pressure to win that these guys, to your point and Cormier's point, they're not going to stop because the pressure won't go away. It's not like they changed anything else. They just changed the testing. The testing will get better, but the science will move faster.
We don't know if they're getting paid enough right now because we don't know how much the UFC is taking in. And without a fighters union... So the way the NFL works, right, is you get the players get paid a percentage of revenue.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And right now it's just this ad hoc decision that the UFC makes here to determine how much each individual fighter is going to make. So we don't know. Right now they could be making a higher percentage than other professional sports. Percentage of revenue, they might be making a lower percentage. Most estimates out there that it's a lower percentage of revenue compared to the NFL, for example.
Well, it's going to be lower than a union represented business, but it's also going to be lower too because they have to eat some events. So it's not like the NFL where you know how much TV money is coming in, and obviously they know how much is coming in with the Fox deal, but that's not what they make their money. The NFL makes their money on TV. That deal's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered, I think, through 2019 right now, something like that. The UFC makes their money on live gates. They make their money when Jones and Rumble both show up. They're going to lose money here. I'm sorry. They're going to lose money when Ronda Rousey has to headline a card that was supposed to be headlined by Chris Weidman and Vitor Belfort. That's a difference right there. Now, if you want to work out percentages later and figure this out and that out, that's fine. But if you're telling me that's going to help fighter pay on the low tier, you're crazy because they're going to give more of that money to John Jones and they're going to give more of that money to Vitor Belfort and they're giving it to Chris Weidman and Cain Velasquez if they have to do a percentage of their dollars. I mean, there's a lot of dudes that in the NFL, if you want to use that example, for 16 weeks a year, they sit on a practice squad for like a grand a week. But they're essentially NFL players.
Yeah, there's
players
always going to be somebody
that
at
are
the
always
bottom,
a step away.
Right?
So,
and then there's always going to be Peyton Manning making, you know,
right. So
100 times
know
more than
helps.
The guy in the bench.
I mean, I think what I'm hearing from Eric is he wants Obama to take over MMA. And
right.
Wants some type
socialize
of MMA.
I'm so glad.
He wants socialist MMA.
That's such a great segue because that's exactly what I want to talk about, Obamacare in the MMAs.
There you go.
That is not what I'm saying. I was just pondering the question that if we're going to start a fighter union, do we need to have a discussion about the way in which they're paid and whatever that looks like? It, in so much that, let's say, for example, and this is going to sound again like I'm boohoo and it needs to be socialist and everyone needs to be taken care of. That's not what I'm saying. I'm giving you a scenario, a real world scenario that's going to happen. There's going to be a fighter at 170 pounds that fights. Let's pick on Neil Magny. He's won six in a row.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say for whatever reason, he ends up popping.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently barely ranked even after winning six in a row in 14 months. He gets banned from the organization for 4 years and has... He's done fighting.
Yeah.
What happens to those guys?
Those guys are done.
Yeah.
But here's also what...
What happens, though, Ken, in a real-world scenario, let's go to... You know, you said it's going to be case by case. What happens if that guy is John Jones? Really, he's done?
He's not done. He's
really?
Got a sponsorship.
They'll still let him fight even if he
but
pops.
No, they won't.
Just
let
like
him.
Anderson Silva, he tested positive 3 weeks before his fight, and they still let him fight.
I don't think.
They say they haven't seen it.
After looking at those schmucks on the athletic mission,
really mad
do you believe
the NSAC, ladies and gentlemen? No, what's going to happen is there's going to be certain dudes that aren't going to be popular enough. They're not going to be able to take a hit like that. that's just kind of the breaks of the business at this point. I mean, this looking forward should help dudes like that. You've got them. The only way they get paid more or there's more opportunities for them to fight is if UFC becomes more popular. Well, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be more popular if they keep losing their main fighters every
sure.
2 weeks to drug pops. So in this instance, you know what? You know, I guess you'll go with socialism and I'll go with trickle down economics. If they can get it more popular and
Reagan
you can
versus
work
Obama?
It up,
awesome.
I guess so. We could take that and look at that example. I think as a whole, fighting's got to be healthier for that to work out for those guys. And
1,000% agree.
And the recommendations UFC is putting in, I think they're really good too, because what it does, it takes away that back door that is World Series of Fighting, that can be Bellator, that can be whatever 10 other promotions are, wherever it's sanctioned. Guys in Bellator, they're not gonna go against the NSAC. They have too many events.
Sure.
Yeah, they run a lot of casinos, but they run a lot of legit arenas too. World Series of Fighting, they're pretty much the same. You might start seeing some of these guys in Titan or whatever, and I'm not trying to pick on Titan, but the guys that necessarily don't run in places where they need commissions,
right?
Maybe they'll hire these dudes. I don't know, but I think you've got to take away that safety net too, or these guys are going to cheat. Go, I can go to Bellator for a year, mm-hmm. and then I can come back. That's not going to be an option anymore.
Well, so let me ask the one last question before we end this segment. Do you think, in light of this, that they'll slow their schedule down?
I don't think they can. I think Joe has been great at explaining that they can't do it at this point. These cards aren't for us. They're for all over the world. They're not for me.
I understand that they're not for you specifically. But
should they? Yes.
Okay.
Will they? No. But I'll you know what? I'll hedge that. I'll give it a little maybe because I'm going to be very curious to see what this looks like after 187.
It definitely isn't going to happen in 2015. They already laid out their schedule for 2015.
I'm not saying that was the only thing they had at that press conference.
You know, I'm not
CM Punk every month headlining pay-per-views. He can do it. He did it in WWE.
He totally could do it.
Come on, Rufus, get him going.
They're saying he's doing great up there. All the pros up there.
Everybody loves.
He will be our salvation.
Everyone loves
just that. Like he was Vince McMahon's salvation.
Yes, he was. I was just saying that, you know, when you look at this and the amount of fighters that might come in this tsunami after July 1st, that might have to be a real question you ask in 2016. I know you don't want to, and I know you don't want to back off, but if you go from 576 fighters on your roster, I believe that's the actual term, to 300 of them,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to have a different discussion about scheduling.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Higher quality, higher caliber events and less of them.
How dare you?
I've also submitted to the fact that this is an entertainment business. This is less sport and more entertainment based. So if it is CM Punk, let's buy it. Let's watch it.
Well, there's 22 events left this year they got to fill out. 22 events.
Left this year.
Holy. That have been announced and laid out in 2015. And as Joe said, those are written down like, hey, those are actually for sure.
Yeah.
We still have TBAs on locations and
right.
fighters, obviously, on most of those.
Because they don't know who's going to be in the organization at
exactly.
half the time.
Maybe that's why they're stacking 187 just to see.
That's what I said. I'd be really curious to see what happens after this. Are they just going to basically roll these cards out as best they can, throw some Ultimate Fighters on there, call it good, and then kind of reset, and we look at 2016, and all of a sudden, as far as pay-per-views go, there's really only like 10. I don't think we'll get there. I think what we'll see is we'll have to see those Fight Night cards siphon off, won't we?
I think some of them, like, you know, when you look at this
week. Do they
need
to be in Denver and do a Fight Night? I don't think so. They don't need to do that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, nothing against who was on that card, but I don't disagree with you.
I mean, that could have been a pay-per-view with another set of fighters,
uh-huh.
and then that can be in Denver. I'm not trying to. I don't know if anybody's even listening in Denver. But if you are, that's not against you. I'm just.
Right.
I'm looking at this Fight Night, by the way, where they screwed up the stop titling the Fight Nights prelims the same thing, because then I tape those thinking I've got the Fight Night.
Right, yeah.
And I don't.
Well, and you know, there was a good point. I think it was Front Row Brian that made the point that if you're going to have the prelims on the same channel as the event, call it the event.
Just have it be together, too. When I set my DVR.
Make it one thing.
I do want to give them
credit.
Everything
is marketing.
I do give them credit. Whatever their deal has worked out, they've got them on Fight Pass the next day now.
Oh, that's cool.
I figured I'd give it a... Yeah, isn't it funny? Like, all of us that were actually in at the beginning didn't realize that because they never done it
they don't
before.
Well, no, they just send you alerts for things.
And then they tell me it's not my country.
Yes.
They say, hey, this is on, but not for you. But next day, I was able to watch the Benson Henderson fight without any issues.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Which I know we'll get to next.
And speaking of that, we will talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken and Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We talked about how you should stop doing drugs, and we move on to...
No. We said the UFC wants you to stop doing drugs.
Sorry. Yeah,
don't confuse the two.
Let's be clear here. I support drugs.
Thank you, Joe. We know that you support it a lot. We move on to Denver, which is a great segue for talking about drug use. And we had Fight Night 60 this past weekend as Benson Henderson had a successful move up to 170 against Brandon Thatch. He weathered the storm in the first two rounds, was able to sub Thatch in that fourth
round.
That
was an amazing fight. That
was.
I didn't expect that.
No. It was a great fight.
The size difference. Oh, my gosh. Benson looked like his little brother. Right?
Yeah, the size difference was crazy.
I did not think this was going to go well.
I didn't see the resemblance. I didn't see the resemblance. I'm just going to be honest.
And I think from it's one of those rare cases, I think, in when a substitute fight is actually a win-win for the guy that lost. I thought a lot of people got to see Brandon Thatch who might not have watched the Wonderboy Thompson main event.
Sure. Do you think so, though? I get it. You know, he was.
You don't think Benson Henderson's a draw?
No, Benson Henderson's definitely a draw. But I think what happened in that fight is exactly what we all thought for the first two rounds, and then what we ended up seeing. And again, I'm not saying it's going to be a fair representation, but basically, what anybody who's casual looking at that and saw him fight Benson Henderson, yeah, they heard the announcers mention the weight difference. Yeah, they know that there's something inherently different there when you have to fight a different guy. But all they really would take away from that fight is the fact that Thatch choked. I'm not saying that's what happened. But if you're going to start talking about takeaways and perception and winners and losers, and if the loser actually won, I don't know if I agree with that.
I think what you're saying, Eric, is just that it brought more attention to the fight.
Well, I think Brandon Thatch is a guy that people want to watch regardless of the fact that he just lost to a former champion, which I think is nothing to laugh at. And I think he put on a performance for two rounds and just learned a lot about what the actual UFC is like when you go against a former champion, what that pace is like, and what you actually have to do to win that fight. And for Thatch, I think that's invaluable experience. And yeah, it was in front of a television audience, but I think that makes him a better fighter. And I think a lot of people like you didn't know what to expect and had a fight that they really, really dug. And that makes fans out of both sides, in my opinion. Not that we're going to see a rematch. That's not what I'm saying. But
no.
I think people next time they see Brandon Thatch will be like, oh, yeah, that was that guy. He almost beat Benson Henderson and then choked.
Do you want to see Benson stay at 170, or do you think he'd be better off going down to 155? My personal opinion is I think he did really well in this, but I don't think he can hang with the top 10 at 170. It's just pure size.
I don't think he beats Thatch again. I think Thatch learned a lot, and like you said, he knows what it's going to be like to be in there now. I don't think he beats him again at that weight, and I don't think he beats most of those dudes at that weight. He got the guy, you know, there's a lot to be said for timing.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Benson Henderson got a guy who was trying to go five rounds for the first time. He hadn't been out of the first round, right, in the UFC?
Correct. And at altitude and
at
all
altitude,
of the, you know,
right. Taking him five rounds. I mean, all of that going on. Your timing was perfect right there. And Benson Henderson caught him. And Benson Henderson's a guy who obviously had the talent and the training and the years of experience to catch a guy in that situation. I'm not taking anything away from Benson Henderson. If they were to fight this weekend, would you pick Benson Henderson still, even after that win?
I don't know, because I think that the weight difference and the height difference is insane.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Thatch, those first two rounds were scary if you're Benson Henderson.
If you're anybody but Benson Henderson and a few other guys in all of UFC, you lose that fight because he finishes you in those two rounds.
Yeah, and the rest of the card was, for the most part, pretty unremarkable. It was nice to see Neil Magny, win again.
I can only speak to the prelims because that's all my DVR got.
Well,
I didn't watch the rest.
You got to see Zach, what's his face, do the WWE move on.
Zach, what's his face? why isn't Magny ranked? That's what I want to know.
Against Elliot.
Neil Magny is not ranked in the top 15,
which is surprising to me.
I did see Kevin Lee's fight though, even though it was on the main card. I put my hour extra on the prelim, so I was able to see that fight.
But so this is what I mean is, like, you know, when you're talking about slowing down events, I think there were some great fights in here that people would have watched had you put them with other things that were interesting. I just thought overall the card was unremarkable. I thought Kevin Lee looked great. He looks better every time he shows up. He had an eye injury, which slowed him down a lot. And he's a guy who also learned something on Saturday night, which was that you never say you can't see out of your left eye when you're sitting on a stool next to the commissioner.
That was great.
Did he say that?
Yeah, and his coach was like,
don't say that now.
STFU, my friend. Yeah. STFU.
See, that's interesting, though. I mean, because I didn't catch that part of it. I wonder in those situations, and again, I may be playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, do you want to hear a coach say that? Guy can't see out of his left eye. Don't you want to know that? That are we hiding that from the commission now? This is going to go back to the drug use. Don't tell him you did the drug so that you can't see.
I think Sean would have told him to do the same thing.
Yeah, I think anyone would have told him.
I think they would have. Is that what we want?
Well, between us. This is a decision the fighter and the coach makes. Mm-hmm. Not you don't want the commission to make that decision. I think that's what he's saying. Your eye hurts, you tell me. Don't say it loud enough for everybody here, and then we'll make the decision.
Is that what
he
said, or is that what you're
that's what I'm inferring.
He's inferring a lot from what happened there. Yeah. I just think it was.
That's exactly what happened.
You know, we don't talk about Fight Club. I think that's really what the rule was that you learned that night. But what the other thing that I thought was interesting is not only was the card just kind of okay. It was fascinating to me how many people still in 2015, 22 years after the organization was first in Denver, still have a problem with altitude. How that's a thing,
that's always a thing. Let's talk about the NFL again. Mm-hmm. Every time we want to compare, that's just a thing. You can't do anything about it. That's why it's still a thing. You can't do anything about it unless you're going to move there and live there for like 3 months before a fight, which according to Eric, they don't make enough money to do. So not a feasible option.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them do go there a week before, or they get hyperbaric chambers
enough,
and stuff.
Especially,
and that's my point.
Because nobody's
it's
going
not
full
enough.
Speed, what especially was, in that week of camp.
What was funny about this is why I bring it up. What was funny about that is Brian Stan, who I think is one of their best announcers at this point, was saying that he was interested in seeing what happened to Kevin Lee because he didn't show up very early. He just kind of rolled in and wanted to see how this would affect him, and he clearly just drowned Pazereski, in a way that...
Well, I think you had two guys there that weren't at altitude. I think where you really thought you were going to see it was the Henderson-Thatch fight, and then, I don't know, Thatch is the guy that wore out, so...
Who lives there.
Right, so, I mean, or lived there. I don't think he's training out of there anymore, and I think it's a thing if you're
no,
not...
No, he lives at the arena.
Does he? Oh, okay. Yeah. He's got a little condo underneath the Pepsi Center. Him and Patrick Waugh from years ago.
He and Patrick Waugh lived there, yes.
They nice stay reference. There forever. So, it's a situation where I don't think you can do anything about it. If you're going to have an advantage there, sure. But, I mean, I think it evens everybody out. It just sometimes the fights aren't going to look as good because both dudes are tired. You know, it's like watching all heavyweights on a card.
And
that's what a Denver card's like.
Remember when they put all heavyweights on a Denver card? That was...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, was the thing. They should never do that again, and haven't since. But and you might be onto something, but it was interesting. I was very excited to watch the fights, and I got through the prelims, and then I was just kind of like, I mean,
they're all kind of swinging and punching.
They're fighting.
I fell asleep during some of it, to be honest with you.
I just thought when we talk about cards and the amount of cards, and when Ken tells me that there's 22 of these left before I get to January.
So 22 times, not 15, because you got mad about that, Joe, but let's say 22. Times 10 means they have to come up with at least 220 more fights for this year.
220 more fights,
It's crazy.
And make money on those.
And try and make money on those.
What do you think about Kevin Lee, Eric? He's 3-1 in the UFC now.
Ready for a title shot.
Title shot. Top 15, right? You'd give him a top 15 guy?
I would, you know what, to be honest with you, I would like to give him... I would like to give him one more fight that is not ranked. And why that is, I think, would speak to what Ken calls, a spotlight fight. I want to give him one where he does something that the crowd will walk away and want to see him when you move him up to that thing.
Do you do Aya Quinta again?
No. Aya Quinta needs to be fighting somebody top five at this point.
Well, you think so? Not as like a punishment for screwing up hotel rooms?
He can do whatever he wants.
I lost a little respect for him because
of
that.
For the love of God, do you know what they do for a living? They punch other people in the face. What do you think they do?
Did you listen to the whole interview, though? I mean, he just kind of acted... immature.
Okay, who do you think? What are you watching? You're watching Gladiators. Gladiators. You're
Chris
not watching...
Weidman isn't tearing up hotel rooms
that you know of.
Oh, I know.
Okay, all right.
Listen,
your champion,
back to Kevin
your
Lee.
Champion of 205 does cocaine as a recreational drug.
I've never liked
John
Jones.
Let's calm down.
Yeah. The reason I think we don't give him, I hope he doesn't get it. I don't want to say I hope he doesn't. The reason I think it makes sense for him to not get a top 15 is because he's 22. It's what Sean used to say. That he's got so much time to grow. And if you peak between 28 and 32, he's got 6 years of growing before he needs to work on top 15 guys.
I think a guy like Kevin Lee, though, that is going to come down. I don't disagree with Sean necessarily on where that range is now, but I think that's got to come down.
Agreed.
It's going to come down. And, it could be like a guy like Kevin Lee in 2 or 3 years moving that age range down. I mean, because John Jones is still, what, 26, 27?
27. I think he just turned 27.
So, I mean, he's relatively young, and right. I can see he's pretty good.
He's all right. Would you agree, though, Ken, that would you like to see him get a finish before we start?
Yeah, I want to see him out of Denver. That's what I want to see. And I know everybody's like, oh, dominating performance, and this was great. And it was. I'm not taking any of that away. But, again, you got to see a finish. And I think that Ally Aquinta fight was a little bit of an anomaly for him.
It was a close fight.
He didn't get beat up. It was his first time in there in the UFC. Right. And, you know, obviously there's a lot going on there. He's a guy I want to see him have some good, solid fights on maybe the top of a prelim or where he was on this card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is at this point. But, you know, he's a guy, yeah, 2-3 years. Maybe he's in line for a title shot at that point.
Get through the mire that is 155. And then, like,
and that's, have, oh, yeah, I forgot he's at 155. Yeah. See, that's a tough division, too, just to muck through.
Well, and what I'm saying is, like, there's plenty of people for him to fight before he even gets into the top 15, because everybody in top 15 apparently is a number one contender. So you've got to deal with that. And then UFC 187, it was announced this week. We're calling it the MMA Super Bowl card because it's essentially John Jones and Rumble Johnson. You get Weidman and Belfort. You get Cerrone and Nurmagomedov, which was the worst-kept secret of the week. That we knew that one going in.
I like how you put Khabib up on the board.
Well, Nurmagomedov is, although I can say it, it's hard to spell. So Khabib is easier for me to spell. Travis Brown.
It looks sort of like Ichabod, the way Eric wrote it. And I thought we had already had a replacement fight.
We talked last week about how Matt Mitrione was in a verbal Twitter battle with Andrei Arlovsky. And Andrei ends up winning that battle and gets Travis Brown. And then you get Joseph Benavidez and John Moraga on that card.
That's kind of cool, too, because that Travis Brown, because, I mean, I don't know. I look at Travis Brown. He's like Andrei Arlovsky. Today.
How so?
The way when Andre
just tore through people?
Yeah, just tore through people initially. And then obviously he Travis Brown's a little bit at that wall right now, too, that Andrei Arlovsky had.
I think Arlovsky tore through people like 7 years ago, though. And
yeah,
Travis Brown
that's
is
what I mean.
Tearing through him today.
No, that's what he's saying.
Travis Brown
I think he's
going
to tear through Arlovsky.
Right. Oh, it'll be an ugly. Yeah. I think it'll be an ugly fight, but a fun one. And I think if Andre gets, you know, that's what Andre wants. Andre gets that and sees, you know, gets to test himself and see where he really is.
And that's good because you know what? You hire this dude, you want him to fight a guy like that.
Sure,
you bring Andre Arlovsky back. It's not to dink around with heavyweights that don't matter, especially in that division. You've got to see, dude, that there's something on the line for it. Like even more so than the lighter weights, those dudes, you want something that's entertaining because it can go bad real quick if you get, you know, talking about the Denver card with all the heavyweights.
Yes.
You don't want Gann McGee in there losing his breath against a guy like Andre Arlovsky who probably can't finish.
We might be the only podcast that has mentioned Gann McGee twice in 2015. We might that might be a statistic, but.
Is he alive?
I don't know the answer to that. So, I mean, that'll be...
Nope, that's Honey Boo Boo's mom.
That'll be a fun fight. UFC 189. We finally get our wish. Rory McDonald gets a title fight as he will be taking on Robbie Lawler.
This is like the most underwhelming, like he finally got the title fight ever.
Right? Like
they're like, hey, Rory finally gets his title fight.
Oh, by the way,
UFC 187.
By the way, UFC 187. Let's talk about that instead. Yeah. It's very underwhelming, but great for Rory, who thought he was going to have to wait. Hector Lombard tests positive. Matt Brown is going to take on Johnny Hendricks. So everybody has a dance partner except for Robbie Lawler.
Is 189, is that? That's not after the testing, is it?
It has to be, right?
No.
89? No. Most 89? Certainly does.
187 is Memorial Day weekend. You got a whole month. Sometimes they shove two or three in there.
Be July 11th.
Oh,
told ya.
Interesting. Yep. Robbie Lawler.
Better recognize.
Oh, boy.
Really? Robbie Lawler?
I don't know. He seems old enough to, like, kind of have some of those old school horse steroids. I'm just.
He's been doing them since the 90s.
No, I'm not saying he's been doing them. You can't just say that. There's a microphone in front of you.
It is the most.
You said it.
You know, it is the oddest, most underwhelming because it's Aldo McGregor is the main event, and then Rory and Robbie is the co-main event. So there again, you're stacking those guys again.
Are they going to do it that way? Shouldn't the welterweights be the main? Yeah, the welterweights will be the main.
I believe they said yesterday that is not what's going to happen.
Really?
I believe that they love Conor McGregor so much.
Apparently.
He is the main
event.
Yeah,
he makes the main event. He's not even the champ. Event. Put him on the top.
Right?
Oh, you're right. Well, I mean, Jose Aldo's the champ, so.
Never heard of him.
Right. Who's that?
I'm here for Conor McGregor.
Exactly. All right, fair enough.
And then this weekend, Sunday night, you get Fight Night 61 as you get Mir and Bigfoot as a special Sunday card.
How do you... Wait, I'm going to go back. We're rewinding.
Sure.
So, yeah, you forgot to put Conor and Jose on the little card thing you wrote up on the board here.
Well, because I wanted to talk about Rob. I was excited that Robbie got a title fight.
Okay, but, yeah, I mean, that has a lot of bearing on whether or not I'm going to pay for that after I pay for Jones Weidman, Vitor, and Rumble.
Well, we're going to be in Vegas for that thing. So you're
calling it right now?
I think we're calling it right now.
I thought you were going with your wife, I saw on Twitter.
Well,
are you pretending like you want to take her, and then she goes, I don't really want to go, and then you can go, well, I got to go.
Then I text Ken Evans.
I got to go. I asked you on Twitter.
UFC Fight Night 61, Mir and Bigfoot this weekend, which, I mean, could be a fun fight, but this is another one that, like, there's 15 fights. I care about two of them.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
If you look at these guys' record, so Frank Mir is on a 4-fight losing streak.
He is.
But headlining a card. Better than he's ever trained before.
Yeah. It only took him 15 years.
Wait. Did you just go headlining a card?
Headlining a card.
Frank Mir shouldn't headline a card?
On a 4-fight losing streak? I don't know.
Said you accepted this was a business 10 minutes ago.
Then if you look at Bigfoot Silva, he's on a 2.5 fight.
Of course this is headlining the card. Are you insane?
I guess I would like to see guys headline cards with a winning record.
Okay, let me pause for a second and go back
to what
you said 10 minutes ago that you thought it was a business.
I heard
Ken
say that.
And number two.
We're moving on.
No, we're not moving on, because number two, it's Sunday night. Who is going to fight on Sunday night in Brazil? Who else would you put
on
this card?
They have 568 fighters.
They're all making $3.
And by the way, both of these guys are former TRT users.
Okay.
That's why you put them in Brazil.
That's why you put them in Brazil. So
let them rip.
You got to use TRT or you don't get the market.
Would you rather we talk about Edson Barboza and Michael Johnson? Is that what you would rather talk about?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, because that's also on the card.
How do you not like this card? I love this card for a Sunday night. Yeah.
No, for a Sunday night, it's totally fine. But it's one of those where when you see all the people on Twitter talking about we should probably slow down the cards. This is an example where think to yourself, Ken, if you put this card with UFC 84.
Right.
And you've got Bigfoot and Frank Mir as the co-main Ronda Rousey. Are you doing better then?
No.
Really?
No. Nope. Okay. You just ride Rousey at this point and you let her take the title or the main event slot and you let you don't.
No. I'm not moving her. I'm saying if you add. You know, if you add some of these...
No, I don't think it helps. I don't think it helps. I think this does well on a Sunday, and it's like a 2-fight card, and that's kind of what I said was going to start happening, is we're going to see 2-fight cards like, oh, good, Frank Mir and Silva, and then, oh, look, there's Edson Barboza. I'm kind of interested in him.
Yeah, but you did just say a minute ago before we end the show that you were really excited about this card.
I am really excited about this card.
What else are you very excited about, Ken?
I'm Frank Mir and
No, outside
Silva.
Of the 2-fight card. Like,
oh, no,
the card is the whole thing.
That's
like,
it.
Okay,
that's what I said.
Oh, fair enough.
And you take away from this, I'm not excited at all, so that's why you don't move this fight. That would be stupid. Because I'm still gonna watch the lady fight, and then I'll still watch this fight. So
did you say the lady fight?
Yeah, the ladies are fighting.
Oh, okay.
What do you think, women can't fight?
No, I just never heard anybody call it a lady fight before.
Come on, man.
You're the one who called it the lady fight.
They're fighting.
Jessica Andrade is fighting. Yes, you should watch her for sure. And then next week will be Ronda Rousey and Kat Zingano.
I can't believe the sexism from Joe over here.
For sure. All right.
Ken won't even buy the Ronda Rousey fight. I know that's going to happen.
Well, he will buy that fight for sure. And he will love it. I promise you.
Am I getting a gift card that I don't know about or something?
And on that note, it is Way of the Warrior. We will be back next week talking about Ronda and Kat Zingano as we broadcast live from Celebration Cinema. It is your MMA show.
Please talk to my agent about that.
We're not talking to your agent. We're just telling you where to show up. You can follow along WOW Show, Facebook, and Twitter. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.